I think what he really meant was trying to win is the only thing. You don't always win. He didn't always win, but I can promise you one thing, that every game he played, coached, he tried to win. And that's what he instilled in us. Every game, every play of every game, you did your best to beat the other guy and to win the ball game.
I think most football fans, even today, still grasp how special the Green Bay teams that you played for in the 1960s and into the 70s were, but they might not understand why they were so good. Can you speak to what it was that players like you brought to Green Bay that allowed you to succeed the way that you did?
I think we had a great football team over a long period of time. Same guys playing every year, week in and week out. And we had good football players, and we had guys that wanted to win. They understood what it took to win, and they gave the effort to win.
We see so much about the injury reports when we watch professional football today. There was not really an injury report. People weren't sitting out the way they do today.
The old man used to say there are some guys who can play with a broken leg with a bone sticking out, and others can't play with a hangnail. So that kind of spells it out.
Going back to those 1960s teams for which you won a number of championships, what was Vince Lombardi doing as coach that others hadn't done, either for the Packers or that the other coaches in the league weren't doing? What made him so special, you know, that he was able to motivate his players the way he did?
I think the thing that he did differently from other coaches that I had had there at Green Bay, and I thought one thing that he emphasized was conditioning. And I never felt like, until he came, I never felt like that I was really in great condition to play. And that was my fault. I mean, nobody's fault but mine. But I wasn't motivated to get to that level of conditioning that I think it really takes to win football games and to play hard for 60 minutes. That was an obvious thing from the beginning, that he was he believed that conditioning was totally important. Also, believed in the physical part of it. You know, you had to out-hit the other guy, and that we were well-schooled in what we were doing, both offensively and defensively. And I think that pretty much spells it out. We weren't complicated. As an offense or a defense was concerned.
You said not complicated. I think you wrote that his line was run to daylight.
Yeah, pretty simple, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, the 2009 Packers are just coming off of a win over the Bears, and I was wondering if you could talk about what it was like to play against the Bears in your day, who are pretty much and always have been the arch rivals of the Packers.
Listen. You didn't have to think about who you were going to play this week, because the fans reminded you. Everywhere you'd go, you'd go to the gas station, fill your car up. There's somebody standing there getting his car filled up, and he said, "It's Bear Week, it's Bear Week." And that was a consistent theme all through the week just before that Bear game. And, you know, they were always tough physical, hard-hitting ball games.
Did the Packers hate the Bears as much as the fans hated the Bears?
I don't know that we necessarily hated them. I think that we knew what we had to do to win, and that was don't tiptoe on the field. Come on ready to play.
So how did playing for Vince Lombardi, how do you think that affected the kind of coach that you became?
Well, I think you learn from every coach that you ever played for. And sometimes it was what to do, sometimes it was what not to do. I thought I learned about a lot about what to do playing for Vince Lombardi. As we all know, he was a disciplinarian. I thought that was totally important to winning football games. And I talked about conditioning before. I talked about the physical part of it. I think those are the things that I took with me. And the discipline was a big part of it.
Right. I gather that you didn't see it as your job to be best buddies with your players.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Maybe a lot of them didn't like me. That's okay. I wasn't there to win friends and influence people. I was there to try to win football games.
There are a lot of players who go on to coach and don't last nearly as long as you did as a coach. What do you think the hardest part of taking a winning attitude on the field, because you had been so successful as a player, what's the hardest part of taking that winning attitude on the field and applying it to a whole organization around you?
You know, I don't have that total answer. I can only say this, that the preparation is part of it. How you act and interact with your coaches, with the players themselves, and as I said before, it's not a popularity contest. It's what you try to do is try to get your players ready to play as well as you possibly can. Point out to them what's at stake and what the cost of winning is.
Your years coaching in Green Bay were kind of a mixed bag. You put together a run at the end of one season when you went 7-1, but a lot of Packers fans also think of that era as a time when there were a lot of problems on the team. Can you put a finger on what the challenges were with the Packers in those days?
Well, I mean, it's like any team. You know, you have a football team. You have players. Some are good enough to win. Some are good enough to win who are not there consistently. And I think that has something to do with it. And, you know, I can't say beyond that.
I imagine it must have been pretty rough for you personally as someone who was so used to such a high degree of success.
Certainly. There's no question about that. But, you're the guy who's responsible. So it stops with you.
You mentioned injuries, and I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of talk about the long-term health issues that many former football players, especially linemen, are dealing with today. Is it worth it these days, do you think, for a player to have 4 or 5 years of glory in the NFL if it's going to be followed by a lifetime of health problems, whether it's brain injuries or arthritis? And I guess this kind of speaks to the kind of league that the NFL has become.
I can't say that there's any more physical problems today than it was when I played. You know, I hear a lot of talk about guys with knee replacements, that type of thing, hip replacements, and that happens. That doesn't only happen in football. It happens in the real world. I think that you play the game. It's a physical game. You understand that going in, and you've got the choice. Hey, this is America. You don't have to play football if you don't want to. If you think it's too rough for you, you know, get your job doing something else.
At the same time, why do you think you were able to last so long? I mean, I hear the word rugged used to describe football players who played in your era, and the word you so often hear today is big. Is it a question of strength versus size now?
I don't know. You can wrestle with that all you want to. It's a different game now. Players just weren't as big when I played, and they weren't near as heavy. I wouldn't be, as far as weight is concerned, I wouldn't be a good tight end right now. But on the other hand, they can't do what I did as a player because I wasn't carrying that extra weight, and it wasn't required of me. You had to get by on developing technique that would help you win the battle. So, you know, it's just a difference in players, difference in what's asked of the players. And defensive linemen are bigger. Offensive linemen are huge. That's the best way I see it.
Right. You weren't playing against a lot of guys who were 360, 370 in those days.
That's right.
I'm curious what you think of the media's influence, and especially television's influence on football today. I think you wrote about the first time when you were playing that you experienced a TV timeout, and everybody was wondering, what the heck is this? And now TV is such a huge part of what football is.
That was kind of frustrating at first. I have to kind of put it in perspective. We complained to the official about what's going on. Every time we get a drive started, you guys call timeout. The official says, what television is paying you guys to play this game? You got to understand that somebody's got to pay for it.
It's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Well, I am curious, as someone who briefly retired as a player but was brought out of retirement to play another season, this is when you played for the Cowboys in 1971, what do you think of the last few years of Brett Favre's career and how that whole situation has played out?
Well, I think a player, you know, he has a right to retire if he chooses, and he has a right to come out of retirement if he chooses. I don't know the circumstances, and I can't tell you because, you know, I know Brett Favre, and I'm on generally good terms with him because he never played for me. But I think that he's a good football player. I think he was a great quarterback. And he may feel that he has some time left, and maybe he can influence the team enough to be a Super Bowl champ. And having one more of those rings doesn't hurt at all. And I'm not just talking about the money part of it. I had an opportunity right at the end of my career. I was had been with the Packers my whole career, and I'd retired, and I was home working in Dallas. And Cowboys approached me about playing one more year. And that's all you have to do to an old player is tell him, I think you can help us. I think you can play one more year. And that's all it took with me.
Well, and it must have been a real remarkable experience to get to play that last season for Tom Landry.
That was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Having played for two of the best coaches that ever coached this game was certainly helped me, I think, as a football coach. What did you learn? I learned that you had to be yourself. You couldn't be somebody else. Yeah, I couldn't be Vince Lombardi. I couldn't be Tom Landry. But what you had to do is you had to coach according to your own abilities and what your own beliefs were about the game. But Tom Landry was a great football coach, and I thoroughly enjoyed playing with those guys. Seemed like I knew them well because we'd played them so many times in those playoff games. But we had a few guys that were pretty good.
You had a whole lot of guys who were pretty good.
Yes, we did.
It must be amazing to watch a football game now and think about what it was like to play, maybe, you know, to do your training camp at, what was it, East High School in Green Bay in the mid-50s. It's such a completely different game now.
Oh, yeah. It's totally different. You're too young to remember East Stadium, right? I can't give you credit for that.
I read your book. That's how I know.
Oh, okay. You're a good man. Yeah, I remember coming to Green Bay. And you know, I've been there at SMU and Southwest Conference, and that was a good conference at that time. And we had great facilities for that time. And I came to Green Bay, and we drew equipment. And I said, man, this stuff is not the best I've ever seen. I thought, professional football was supposed to be a step up. Well, at that time, it wasn't a step up. But a little bit later, Green Bay built a new stadium, and that kind of put them into the 20th century with style. And, of course, they have as good a facility as anybody now. I don't know of anybody that has any better. But it was different back then, and I was a little bit shocked when I first came. but you kind of got used to it. Dad buys you stoke up that old stove and coal stove in the middle of the dressing room in November, and somehow or another it gave us enough heat.
Well, and it must have prepared you for being a if you can weather the elements, you can weather another football team.
That's right. That's true.
Well, Forrest Gregg, it has been a real pleasure and such an honor. So thank you so much for spending so much time with us.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you calling very much.